Man, I'm glad we get to get straight through, right? kids, you're dismissed to Children's Church as well. So we're talking about the core values of Hastings Berean Bible Church. And last week we talked about worship. And I love worship. It's a great place to start because it's foundational. You know, it's what connects us with God and how we show honor to God. It's an individual thing and it's a church-wide thing. Today, though, we're going to be talking about prayer, and I loved how Keith basically introduced it for us, that really prayer is all about communication, talking with God, listening to God, being in the near presence of the one who made us and who loves us and cares for us and sustains us. It's a beautiful thing. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18, and it's a parable that Jesus told. So we're going to be looking at this. Now, if you remember the book of Luke, we talked a little bit about this when we were going over the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, you know, the example of Mary and faith over fear, the example of the shepherds. But the thing about Luke that's interesting is he was a doctor, you know, a physician. He traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys, and most likely he was a Gentile, the one Gentile author of the Bible. Kind of interesting. So that's who we're hearing from today. Again, Luke chapter 18 is where we'll be at. But just on that subject of parables, because sometimes we hear that and we kind of know what it means. Okay, it's a story. Okay, it's, you know, something that has a point. Maybe you've heard that pithy little thing of like it's a heaven or it's an earthly story with a heavenly point, you know, type of a deal. I wanted to read, though, a couple verses. This is from Matthew chapter 13, because Jesus' disciples asked him, why are you speaking in parables? Okay, it's in verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them, that's everybody, in parables? Get the answer that Jesus gives. This is verse 11, Matthew 13. And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, don't misunderstand that. There's not some hidden knowledge or like, I've got to drink the Jesus juice. But so much of communication with God is about God. He is the one who initiates. He's the one that we respond to. In the act of coming to faith, it's not, man, I'm so glad I was good enough to believe the right thing, and now I'm headed to heaven. It's God sees you in your brokenness and in your sin and your doubt and ultimately your demise. You're headed to eternal destruction and death, and he plucks you out of that by the goodness and grace of his Spirit. That's what love looked like. So sacrificial. He plucked you right up out of that. And he gives you a new nature. If you believe in Jesus Christ alone, you trust him as your Savior from all sin, but to something too, right? To life, from death to life. It's an incredible thing to me. And Jesus taught in parables a lot of times to make people really chew on the answer. Because he could have just given them the answer. You know, sometimes that's just what they wanted. Here's my hard, complex question, and I just want a yes or no. Because a lot of people that asked him hard, complex questions wanted to trick him and trap him and even kill him, some of them. And a lot of the times he would answer with a story. So that's what he does in our passage today. Let's take a peek at it again. It's Luke chapter 18. And he's got a couple of parables here about prayer, but I want to focus just on this first one. The first verse here, so again, Luke 18, starting in verse 1, it says, and he told them a parable. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, I will tell you, if you're familiar with parables, that is unusual. You know, a lot of times he'll tell the story and they're kind of like, where is he going with this? What's going on? And then at the end, it's kind of, aha, you know, I get it. This one's different, and I'll put an argument to you as to why. And this is why we're talking about it when it comes to prayer. because this is hard to hear. What does he say? They ought always to pray and not lose heart. It's such a simple thing to hear, but not easy to do, right? Especially if you've got something you're praying for. And I know this. There's a lot of people in this room, a lot of people in this church, in this community. There's usually at least one thing that you're just praying for, and you're praying for, and you're praying for, and it's on your mind. And Jesus is telling this story, and Luke is translating it in advance that the purpose of this story is that you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Keep praying. Keep praying. That's a hard word when you have been praying for a long time. It's like somebody running a marathon. I don't know if there's any marathoners in here. If so, you're better than me. I have not gone 26.2 miles or whatever it is. But it would be like if somebody was running a marathon for the first time without training, and they're like dying, you know, sweat is pouring, and their heart's thumping and red-faced, and they're just trying to get there. They're in mile like 24, 25, and you come up right next to them jogging along, and you're like, this is easy. Come on, just keep going. If we're not careful, this is how this kind of a word can feel. Like, oh, you mean that thing I've been doing for years? Maybe for decades? I just have to keep doing that? That's the encouragement. He tells them right up front what the purpose is because he knows it's hard to hear. But let's read what the actual story is here. This is verses 2-6. He said, this is Jesus, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, that's the judge, and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Okay, we'll stop there for a second. Two interesting characters here, and I really think this is possibly one of the strangest stories, parables, that Jesus ever told. You know, a lot of times he grabbed stories from people's experience, right? Oh, there's this woman who loses a coin. Everybody dealt with coins. You know, everybody had money at some point. There's this guy who loses a son, this shepherd who loses a sheep. Different stories that he tells. A sower went out to sow his seed. A lot of times it was something they could really understand. This is a little different. And some Bibles say this is the parable of the unjust judge. And mine says the parable of the persistent widow. You've got these two characters that are very interesting. The one is this slimy judge that when you think about what a judge is supposed to be, the first thing that comes to your mind is they better be just. That's literally like their one job is to be the human implement of, and really in the culture of the day with Israel, God's justice. So this shouldn't just be someone who cared about the people that were in front of them, but really that they feared the Lord as well. So Jesus is, in telling a story like this and including this guy in it, he's really making us think, because this is, they probably don't have any experience with somebody exactly like this, but maybe they do. This is a judge that's unjust, and we know that because what does it say about him? He neither feared God nor respected man. The two big things that you want in every judge. He didn't feel like he answered to anybody because he didn't fear God, and he didn't care about the people that came to him for justice because he didn't respect man. So it feels like anybody could have gone to this guy and not gotten justice. Anybody, somebody important, a king, a leader, somebody with wealth that says, I'll pay you all this money, just give me some justice. And he's like, I don't care about you. I don't fear God. We know that because he repeats it later on. He self-identifies as someone who doesn't fear God or respect man. Now, who's the other character? because you've got this unjust judge, this slimy, slippery guy. On the other side, and this is what I love so much about Jesus, he's giving a starring role to possibly the lowest member of society in his day. Because women, their testimony wasn't seen as authoritative in the court system. If a woman comes up and says, hey, this is what happened, we don't have to listen to her. That's a woman. And especially, look at this particular woman. Her husband had died. So in this culture, in first century, you know, Israel, she wouldn't have been allowed to go back to work. So now she has no way to support herself. So now she has to live off of society. Most likely that means she's destitute. She's poor. She might be hungry. She might be homeless. This is the woman who comes before the judge that isn't going to give justice to anybody. That's his mindset. So you have these two kind of crazy characters that Jesus puts up here. And it's because he knows this is a hard truth to hear, I think. What does he say, though, that happens here? Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Verse 7. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? We'll stop there for a second, too. The shortcut interpretation of this parable is really terrifying. So please don't make this mistake. But I will say, I've heard this said sometimes in churches, that it's like, God's the unjust judge, and we are the persistent widow, and you just have to wear God down. He's saying, always pray and don't give up. You just have to keep praying and keep praying and come to him like this woman did. Give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice against my adversary. You know, you've got the judge. He's asleep in his bed at night. It's late. He's just trying to get some shut eye. He hears a knock at the door. Oh, let me guess. It's that widow woman again. Give me justice against my adversary. It's me. Is that the way we have to be with God? Sometimes people think that. I need to go basically pound on heaven's door enough so that God knows I want it open, so that he'll change his mind and relent and give me what I think is right in this situation. Do you see how God is not any longer the judge in that scenario? We are. And we think, I am bringing the right thing. I'm bringing the justice, God. Don't think of God as the unjust judge. Jesus is comparing it, but he's also contrasting it. If even an unjust judge would give justice to a widow who is seen as such a low member of society, without a home, without money, without a voice, and he gets worn down and gives her justice, even though he doesn't fear God or care about people, how much more will your heavenly Father, who cares deeply for you, give justice, what does it say, verse 7, to his elect? That's believers, followers of Jesus, who cry to him day and night. He asks, will he delay long over them? He asks the questions there, and he anticipates, you know, what he'll say next. It's the answer. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. And here's the contrast, though, that he runs back around with. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So really, if you want to wrap up the message of Luke 18 and what we're talking about when it comes to prayer, is kind of like the last part of verse 1 and then the last part of verse 8. That we are to always pray and not lose heart, because God gives justice to faith where he finds it. Okay, I'll say that again. Always pray, don't lose heart, because God gives justice to faith where he finds it. Now that sounds really simple, right? when you read a passage like this and you hear a story like this and it seems really clear, there's not a lot of extra interpretation. I don't need a degree in theology. I don't need to know the original language of Greek in order to know what I need to do. I need to pray and not lose heart. God gives faith. God gives justice to faith where he finds it. Okay, I need to believe, right? Because if you're doubting in prayer, that's a double-minded prayer. We heard that from James, right? So there's something powerful about coming before God with faith. But so many times we get this misconception of what prayer is. And we do. We think we're trying to change God's mind. If he knows how much I care about this thing, then he'll change it towards the outcome that I think is right. And it, frankly, guys, if you look around at our world today, if you look inward at your life and the lives of those around you, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of suffering and sin and devastation and pain and death and sickness. And if there's a powerful God who's over all of this, why doesn't he change it? Come on, there's people, good people, righteous people that are praying. And didn't we hear from James chapter 5 that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful? Come on, God. Please, can you just relent? Well, what does God give to faith? It doesn't say he gives exactly what the prayer was. It says he gives justice. And there's something about justice that is a universal thing. God's looking at the entire world. God's looking at the entire span of human history. And he's seeing, how do people need to come to me? What will draw them to me? How will they think about all of this? What is best for Tevin? Not what's easiest for Tevin. What is best for you? Not what's easiest for you. And a lot of times, what's easiest is not what's best. And it's hard because we know that God is sovereign and we know that God understands everything that's going on. So sometimes you think, why would I even pray? If God knows this and he knows it matters to me and he's going to do what he's going to do and I'm not trying to change the mind of God, why would I even talk with him about this? Well, I think sometimes it's important to translate the relationship between us and God and translate it into relationships with each other, because it's a little easier to understand. So think just for a moment about the person who you care about more than anybody else on planet Earth. It might be your spouse, it might be a friend, it might be a parent, a child. Think about that person that you really, really care about. Odds are good you want to hang out with them. You want to spend some time with them. Odds are good you probably want to sit down and have a conversation, not necessarily to make them do something or so that you'll do something different. You're not necessarily trying to do that. You just want to be with them. You want to spend time in their near presence. A lot of times that's what prayer looks like. It's not just this transactional thing. You probably have heard the metaphor of sometimes people will pray and it's like they're coming up to the vending machine that is God. And they push A4 and they're expecting their bag of Doritos to drop down into the thing. And the unanswered prayer is I hit this and then the machine just stops. You know, and God, I guess he just needs a good kick so that it'll work again. And now he'll give me what I asked for. God's not a vending machine. He's not a broken vending machine. He's a personal being. And we talked about this last week. There's this paradox in the nature of God. Because on the one hand, he is so great and so holy and so far above anything that we can even imagine in our minds. And yet, he's so deeply personal as well. And this incredible transcendent being that's outside of all time and space encounters us in time and space. And it just makes me think, I feel like a lot of us could pray more. You know, can you think about that? Like, I know that video at the front, it's kind of a funny way of putting it, but you think about that. We've got a direct line to the great and awesome creator of the universe who wants to listen to us. He's on the other end of that line. And yet, how frequently do we just not pick up the phone? How frequently do we just not even think about it? And we get busy in our hustle and bustle, and we connect with people, and we forget about the most important relationship. And then we wonder why our hearts are far from the Lord. We wonder why we constantly are praying prayers that we're not seeing showing up in exactly the same way. Well, in Scripture it says, when you pray according to the will of God, He fulfills it. So what if it's not God that needs to change, but it's us and how we pray? So that the more we pray, the more we just tread a path to God, so that the path gets worn out. The more we do that, what if we are aligning our hearts with God? What if it could be said about us what was said about David, that we could be people after God's own heart? The prayers we pray are in His will. Why? Because we know Him. Prayer is not then so much, I need to make sure God knows this thing. It's, I want to find God. I need to talk with Him about this. I can't. He needs to know how I feel about this. I know He does in His sovereignty, but I need to say it. And sometimes it's when you gather other people together and they hear you say it. Your kids, when they hear you saying it to God. Your spouse, your friends, your coworkers. Some of these prayers, guys, need to be out loud. And I hope everyone in here who has a relationship with the Lord knows the power of prayer and how important it is. But I'm telling you, I feel like all of us could just take that next step to say, God, I want to be more consistent in prayer. What was the message out of Luke 18? Always pray and don't give up. Don't lose heart. Because God gives justice to faith where He finds it. Come to Him in faith. Come to Him with that heart that just says, God, I need to hear from You in this moment. And I actually wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to finish a little earlier today. I want to give us a moment to do this. Because it's one thing for me to just preach about prayer and for us to talk about prayer. And maybe you've been in classes or groups or something where it's just people give opinions or even get in the word about prayer. And then we forget to do it. You know, like, and in the hustle and the bustle, and I'll be honest, Sunday morning sometimes getting our four kids out the door, you know, you lose track of things. So I just wanted to give us a couple of minutes here. Spend a little bit of time in prayer, right where you're at. Quietly before God the Father. And we don't do this a lot here, but I just hope you can spend a little bit of time. And if you don't know what to pray for what you need. Pray for what you can thank Him for. He cares about you. He wants to know what's on your mind. Yes, He's sovereign, He's God, and He knows that already, but He wants to hear you say it. So I'll give us just a couple of minutes. Let's come before God the Father, and then I'll close us out in a word of prayer as well. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you that when we pick up the phone to reach out to you, that there is someone on the other end of the line. And God, I my heart just breaks for each and every one of us that just has those prayers that we're holding on to, and we're asking you, and we're asking you, God, and we're saying, please show up in a special way. Please provide a miracle. We want to see healing. We want to see hope. We want to see wholeness. And God, we know that you can come through in awesome and incredible ways where you get the glory. And yet we can't speak for you. And that's such a tough thing. And it's sometimes so hard to keep saying the same things. And just using those moments that you give us that are so precious, sometimes it just feels like wasted time, God. I pray that we would push against that. That's a lie of the enemy. Because every time we get before you, God, in your throne of grace, we are coming before the just judge. And God, the promise of your word is that you will give us justice if we come to you in faith. It's like people who came to you for healing, Jesus, and you said, it's your faith that makes you whole. Your faith has healed you, and you forgave sin and all these kinds of things, God. Might we be a people of faith who pray extravagant prayers that require the miraculous power of a divine being. The only one who has the power to answer those prayers, God, is you. Forgive us when our prayer life becomes stagnant and selfish and hollow. God, would you just stir in us this reawakening, this revival of our spirits, that we are refreshed then and renewed in you, God. And we don't need to be prayers like the Pharisee in the next passage in Luke 18, that have all the right flowery, colorful words. Oh, great God, I'm glad I'm so good and holy and righteous, not like these sinners around me. But God, make us like the sinner who walks into the temple and beats his chest and bows his head and comes to you in humility. God, I'm so grateful for this medium of prayer. And if we could just grab a hold of this truth that this is the way to your heart, this is the way to being shaped into the example of your Son, God. There's a reason we call prayer a core value here at your church. God, might we be people of prayer the rest of today, this week. Might we be people who live in this truth of Scripture that we can always pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for others. Pray for your will. God, thank you for prayer. It's such a gift. And I pray that we use it wisely. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, I ask all this. Amen.